A couple of months ago, I was invited over to preach at Holy Trinity Church Stapleton, and I was actually given a topic, and the title was Personal Versus Corporate Prayer, okay? So I thought it was an interesting title. Now, I know Vicky, who leads Holy Trinity Stapleton. I know for sure that she was not suggesting for one moment that there is a competition between personal prayer and corporate prayer, that you might trade one against the other. We both know that both personal prayer and corporate prayer are really, really important. So that's what I'm going to be sharing with us this morning, corporate prayer, personal prayer and corporate prayer. And I felt, after I shared the word at Holy Trinity Stapleton, I felt really moved that I should share this same word here, because prayer is going to be so important moving forward as the well, if we want to realize all the things that we want to do and really be in the heart of God's purposes. Folks, we need to pray personally and corporately. So I'm going to use a well-known scripture found in Matthew chapter 6 and starting verse 5. When you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by others. Truly I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Now, this is an interesting chapter if you were to look at what Jesus says before this and also afterwards. It contains all sorts of the rights and wrongs of the way you should do things. If you were to just read what it says, you could be led to believe that God wants us to do everything privately. Because if you do it corporately, we do it in front of everybody, it's like flaunting. But that's not what Jesus was saying, and you'd be kind of missing the point if that's the way you took it. What Jesus was trying to say was that when we come into the presence of God, we need to come in all humility. We need to come in all sincerity. We need to come into the presence of God with all honesty and transparency. And you do that whether you come into the presence of God privately or whether you come into the presence of God corporately. Whatever form of your worship is, you know, we come into God with that sincere heart. So one of the first things I want to make the point, before I get into anything else about the two types of prayer, God looks first and foremost at our heart. So when you come into the presence of God, how is your heart? So let's look at personal prayer first of all. In verse 6, it says, when you pray, go into your room, close the door and pray to your Father who is unseen. And this is how I want you to pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Now, I'm not going to go into great depth of the Lord's Prayer this morning, but I just want to point out one thing, that Jesus instructs us how we should start, how we should actually come into the presence of God. And you know, it says here, hallowed be your name. May your name remain holy, sacred above anything else. I want us to come into a time of prayer first and foremost focused on the wonder and glory and power of God. You know, the day before I preached this at Holy Trinity, it was really interesting. We had a prayer breakfast, and there was church leaders there. There were also church members there. And I was leading that time of prayer. And I played a song. Before we did anything else, I played a song. And the song was called Alpha and Omega. Maybe some of you know it. And the words go like this. You are Alpha and Omega, We worship you, O Lord. You are worthy to be praised. We give you all the glory. I tell you, we just played that song. We didn't say anything. We didn't do anything. We just played and listened to that song. And it was an amazing, powerful sense where we just felt drawn into his presence before we spoke a word. And that's how we need to approach the throne room of God, our Father who art in heaven. The other thing, and this is the only other thing I want to point out from the Lord's Prayer, is Jesus says, our Father. So even when you are praying on your own, you are still part of a wider family. He's our Father. And it's really important to remember that when we pray, it's not all about me and my needs and my hurts and God, will you do this for me? And God, will you do that for me? It shouldn't be me, even when you're on your own. You know, we are part of a family. So when we pray to God privately, we're not just praying for our own needs. We are interceding for those that we love, those that we know. We're interceding for those who don't know Jesus, even in private. So why do we need to pray personally? Why is personal prayer important? Well, I believe personal prayer is where our relationship with God truly develops. You need one-to-one intimate time with God. If you want to become everything that God wants you to become, you need personal, intimate, one-to-one time with God. Those of us who have partners here, how would your relationship be, okay, if you never ever had time for each other? That all your time was spent pursuing your hobbies, your own interests, doing only the things that you liked to do? Or, flipping the coin the other way, what would your relationship be like if you are always in crowds? You don't like being on your own with your partner for whatever reason, and all you want to be is in the crowds, you know, doing stuff. You know, your relationship would struggle, wouldn't it? Some of you are trying to say, that's exactly what I want. But believe me, that's not what you want, really. If you want your relationship to flourish, if you want love for one another to grow, you have to have personal, one-to-one, heartfelt, intimate time with God. And I believe as we pray personally, that's when our intimate, deep, close, loving relationship, personal relationship with God grows the most in personal prayer. Now, you might think I'm being all soppy on you at the moment, but I believe with all my heart that God wants a deep love relationship with all of us. You know, his love for us is without question. We've just taken bread and wine. That's a demonstration of how much God loves us. But he wants to feel your love towards him. He wants to hear your words of affection to him. He wants to hear you say from your heart, God, you're so wonderful. I love you. Thank you for this and thank you for that. And he wants to hear it on a personal level. And that's why personal prayer is so important. You know, even Jesus at times wanted to get away from the crowds and just be with his loving heavenly Father. It says, doesn't it, in Luke 5:15, Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and he prayed. He wanted to be alone with his Father. Now, I know that praying on your own can sometimes be difficult. You know, we live busy lives, we're easily distracted. Sometimes it just can be motivation, you know, you're too busy, you just find other things to do because you prefer to do those other things rather than personal prayer. But what can really help as a practical tip is getting into a rhythm. Who generally find rhythms good? You know, if you want to do something, get into a rhythm, get into a habit. Prayer is no exception to that. You need to get into a rhythm. So choose a time of day, whether it be morning, lunchtime, evening, or whenever. Try and find a time in a day that works for you where you can regularly and consistently, habitually if you like, spend personal time with Jesus. If it helps, listen to worship songs as you're preparing your heart. There is so much around, you know, put it on your phone, listen to worship, get into the zone, into the presence of God. If your house is a busy house, who has a busy house? Yeah, busy household. Go for a walk. Go for a walk. Take the dog for a walk. Put your child in a pram. Go for a walk. And while you are walking, pray to God. And if you find it difficult to know what to pray for or what to say or anything like that, then use personal devotions. They're there to help us in our personal times with God. There's UCB, there's Lectio. Do something. Personal prayer is so important to developing and growing your personal relationship with God. You know, I can't emphasize it enough. Do something. So what about corporate prayer? I mean, if I've actually managed to get into personal prayer and it's really working for me and my relationship with God is growing and I'm feeling intimate with God, why do I need to go to a church prayer meeting? I mean, boring or what? No. Hopefully they're not boring. I know a lot of people think church prayer meetings are boring. Why do I need to go to a corporate prayer meeting? Jesus taught in Matthew 18:19-20, he says, "Truly I tell you that if two of you on earth agree about anything they ask for, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. For where two or three gather in my name, there I am with them." So in the same way as personal prayer, we grow our intimacy, we develop our intimacy with God. In the corporate setting, that's when we feel the power of God. That's where we feel the unity of God, the oneness of God, the oneness with each other. John Piper defines corporate prayer like this. He said, "Corporate prayer is praying to God in the hearing of other believers who agree and affirm with those prayers." So in other words, when you're in a corporate prayer meeting and you're really praying the heart of God, you should hear some noise. You should hear the amens. Yeah. Amen. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Now I'm forcing it, but you know what I mean, don't you? When you are with other Christians and you are praying and you feel that agreement in your heart, you can't help yourself but say amen, hallelujah, praise God, because there's some power in the coming together of God's people with one heart, one voice, one in unity of the Spirit. You pray God's heart, hallelujah. There's power in corporate prayer. That's how it's meant to be. In corporate prayer, we come together in unity. There is a oneness to pray for God. Particularly, there's a oneness in praying to God for the extending, for the advancing of his kingdom, for chains to be broken, for the lost to be saved. Somehow, I find that easier to do when we're together and we feel that burden to pray and we call on God together, and there's a sense of power. Sometimes, you know, we don't know how to pray or what to pray. Don't you find sometimes when you are in a prayer meeting and we're seeking God, we're seeking God for direction, we're seeking God for him to speak to us, and then when one person starts to pray, it touches your spirit. Somehow you feel it and say, yeah, that's good, and it stirs something in your own, and then you start to pray, and then somebody else starts to pray, and that's how it works, and you feel the prophetic word, that now, that rhema word of God. That's when I hear the rhema word of God probably more than any other time, is when either through the preached word of God or through corporate prayer, when people are sharing and you feel it in your spirit, that sense of unity. Some things are really difficult to do on your own. Sometimes it's so much easier to be together to pray. The early church prayed corporately. many, many times. There are lots of instances. We find them in Acts. They were waiting in the upper room, waiting for the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. What were they doing? They were praying together. They prayed during times of persecution. They prayed when Peter was imprisoned. They prayed when Paul and Barnabas were sent out into the mission field. They prayed when Paul and Silas needed to be broken out of prison. They came together, prayed corporately for great things to happen. You know, even Jesus, even though at times he wanted to get away from the crowds, to be on his own, to be with his Father, there are times when even Jesus found it hard to be on his own to pray. And he wanted his friends to be with him. Do you know when that was? In the Garden of Gethsemane, just before he was about to be crucified, his poor disciples kept falling asleep. Jesus needed his disciples. It's almost like he wanted them just to stand with them and pray. Sometimes praying on your own is hard, and we need to be together because there's power in togetherness. I want to share a testimony. It's a really personal testimony about my first grandson, Jesse. He was born in February 2018, and in March 2018 he had to be rushed into hospital. There was snow on the ground. You could barely travel anywhere. They couldn't get an ambulance to him in good time. So Nathan, my son, had to put Jesse in the car and drive him to the BRI. And it was a desperate, desperate time. They took him in there, and the doctors were trying hard to keep Jesse alive. This is how bad the situation was. And we were desperate. You feel so helpless. And on the Sunday, our Sunday morning meeting had been cancelled because of the snow. People couldn't travel, or at least you were being advised not to travel. But on the evening, I asked for anybody who wanted to come together at Peter and Helen's home, to come together and pray for this little baby boy who was wired up and who was struggling for his life. You know, and incredibly, in spite of the snow, in spite of the difficulty to travel, we filled that room with everybody who wanted to pray. And we called on God. We called and we prayed and we cried. We prayed that God would give life to this young little Jesse. So hard was this time. He remained in hospital for 3 weeks. While the doctors tried to figure out what was wrong with him. They didn't know. His skin was all puffed up. He was struggling to breathe. And then 9 days into that time in hospital, we then learnt one more thing. And the doctors told Nathan and Georgie that he'd got Down syndrome. Kim and I were on our way home at the time from the hospital. And we were called and we went straight back to the hospital. And we walked into the room where Jesse was. And I just put my arms around Nathan and Georgie, the parents. And we just hugged each other and we felt love and we felt strength and we felt support and we prayed together. Because you see, I couldn't do this on my own. I needed people around me to pray and find strength. As we went home that day, we were meant to be going to a party of Peter and Helen's. It was Peter's birthday, and we'd been invited round to their house, so they were having a great time, and we were hurting like crazy because of the news we'd been told. So we called into Peter and Helen's, and we talk about ruining a party, but we called into Peter and Helen's. And we were with our closest friends, and we just shared the news. You know, but Jesse's still unwell, and now they've diagnosed him with Down syndrome. And together, what did we do again? Together, we prayed. I say again, I couldn't do this on my own. I'm not Superman, I'm not super Christian, I'm not super anything. I needed people around me that could pray and hold my hands up and hold Kim's hands up. And there we were in a little room, spoiling a party, but praying to God that God would give life to this little boy. 8 years down the line,
There he is, riding a horse. Yes, he has Down syndrome. Yes, he has all sorts of special medical needs. But God brought him through that crisis and brought us as a family through that crisis. And he's doing wonderfully well because we prayed together. Now you might say, well, that's not corporate prayer. That's just a few friends getting together. But I want to remind us, you know, when we get together to pray, powerful, powerful things happen. I remind us of that verse again. Truly, I tell you, if two of you on earth agree about anything you ask for, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. For where two or three gather in my name, there I am with them. There is power in people coming together to pray. There is power in corporate prayer. There is power in church prayer meetings. So why is it that nearly every church I've ever belonged to, we can never get people to pray? Why is it when prayer is so powerful, when praying together answers the most incredible prayers, why is it we never get together to pray? Or at least somehow we prioritize other things, or we just don't like it, so we don't go. I don't understand. And it's been true of practically every church I belong to. It's hard. We don't get people to pray together. This is the killer. Here's the killer. Right? This. I know how you're going to feel about what I'm going to say. I've probably tapped into your emotions right now. You have felt my personal pain over my beautiful little grandson, Jesse. And if this was all happening all over again, and I said to you, look, I can't do this on my own, will you meet me back at my house and will you pray with me? I bet I would fill my house. And yet, God is crying for the lost. Amen. He's crying for the lost. The world around us, the community around us, in your street and neighborhood, where you work, are full of people who are lost, and God's heart breaks for them. Yet why is it our heart doesn't break for them? Why is it our emotions somehow don't get affected by the lost in the same way as a close friend or a baby or whatever? God's heart breaks for the lost, and he wants our heart to break for the lost. He wants us to come together as a church to pray for the lost. Our vision for the well is to grow beyond this room. We want to be so full that we have to plant it, we have to plant it, and we have to plant again. Not through people just transferring from one church to another because they've heard good things and they want in on it. We want to grow because we want to see people born again. We want to see the lost saved. We want to see lives changed. It is not going to happen if we don't pray. I know I'm shouting, but this is really important. We have to pray if we want to see the kingdom of God advance in our time, and if we want to realize our vision, we have to pray. So let me wrap it up. You'll be glad I could come back to land now.
Keep preaching.
If you focus only on your personal prayers, your personal prayer life, the danger you have is you'll become very insular. Your prayers will all be about you, and you won't get to hear necessarily of all the things that God is doing that you could be praying into if you focus only on personal prayer. The trouble is, if you only focus on corporate prayer, you're going to miss out on those intimate times with God, the times where God can speak to you personally, where you can make yourself vulnerable and open yourself up to God. You know, you need both personal and corporate prayer in order for us to become everything that God wants us to be. But more than anything, I believe we need to, even now, we need to start praying that God gives us a burden for the lost. That's what God wants us to pray about, have a burden for the lost. I'm sure when we get into September, prayer is going to be coming right onto our radar. We're going to be needing to pray. And I ask you, you know, as we go through the summer and as we come into September, be thinking about the importance of prayer. Maybe you have a loved one or a member of your family who doesn't know Jesus yet, Or maybe you have a child or somebody who used to know Jesus but have gone away, they've lost their way. You know, these things can be really hard to pray for on your own. But we can come together and we can stand together and we can pray. Amen. Amen. Amen.